Kurt's house.
Sooner than later.
Begins now. And since we have not discussed the Green Bay Packers at all to this point, let's talk about a guy that now plays for the Las Vegas Raiders, and that is Eric Stokes, the 2021 first-round draft pick by the Packers. Gets a one-year, $4 million deal from the Raiders. So basically the Packers traded Eric Stokes to the Raiders for Nate Hobbs.
Well, they paid a lot more for Hobbs.
They did, but they still, this guy's going in opposite directions. You say it all the time.
You think Stokey can be a good player yet?
I don't know.
Sounds
if
like
you
a no
play 1,175 snaps the last 3 years, and you do not break up a pass or intercept a pass,
is it because nobody targeted him?
That is not, I don't think, the reason. He's really fast. He had some good moments his rookie year. There's no denying that.
I'm going to say this, and I said this then. He was a really good rookie the second half of that season. And I don't remember. You'd have to help me with the timeline on his injuries, but you really felt he was going to get. He was going to elevate.
And nine games into his second year was when he suffered the Lisfranc injury on his foot.
I believe Jair is kind of at the height of his powers during that era, right? Is that a fair assessment?
The 21 season was the year that Jair tackled Najee Harris and batched up his shoulder. His shoulder.
Spit it out.
Hurt his shoulder.
So here's kind of how it works. You know, Jair elevates himself and he becomes the guy, right? He has the picks in the Tampa NFC Championship game, and that was kind of the height of his powers. He gets hurt. And I think Stokes went from, he was going to get a lot of action his rookie season because teams target rookies. Teams want to see how you respond. And I thought Eric Stokes responded in a really good way. I was really excited to see him go, and it's because he has everything you're looking for, right? He's got the speed, he's got length. He should have been a guy that you were thinking about having to pay bonko dollars this offseason or last offseason.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, that didn't happen. And it's another kind of tale to tell that every year that you're not kind of making that jump, you know, coaches always say you're either getting better or you're getting worse, you're never staying the same. Eric Stokes, he never made that big jump.
Nope.
And then along with that confidence, the young players need to see success.
Mm-hmm.
Then they need to grow their confidence. And it can't be the fake confidence. It's got to be proven to themselves. And I don't know if he ever got that. He was put in a tough spot because he was going to get targeted. He was going to get challenged a bunch. And I thought handled that first part of it really well. And then I don't know if he did. And then you pile on injuries that will strip away confidence. So maybe this, and for his sake, not from a Packer fan standpoint, because I think most Packer fans, when guys leave, you don't want to see him go off and play great. Like, no Packer fan was excited when Casey Hayward balled out.
No.
Everybody's like, what the hell did we let him go for?
Micah Hyde.
I think change of scenery and a reset with a new staff in a new place that is not going to be, he's a first-round pick. Now he's got that, well, let's see.
Reclamation project.
And we can't see. And for his sake, I hope he goes and plays really good football because obviously he has a skill set, but it has not translated on the field. And I think from Green Bay's standpoint, it's at some point you gotta prove it. It's the Justin Fields. Everybody makes excuses. Well, why is it? Well, he ain't gonna have any more excuses. He's got his opportunity in New York, and that's it. He's gonna have his opportunity out in Las Vegas, and if it doesn't work, he is gonna be one of those guys that's on emergency boards, and people are picking up just in case. Nobody will count on him moving forward if he doesn't do it out in Las Vegas.
If he's not a first-round pick, does he even get this deal, though?
I think he gets a smaller deal and probably, I think you're seeing kind of what Kevin King had to go through in battle.
A year out of football.
I think it was more probably Kevin King had to come to grips, and I don't know his injuries, so I'm speaking a little bit out of turn, but there is a humbling as a first and early pick that when maybe the money and the opportunities aren't what you think you deserve, you find out you ain't deserving anything. You got to go prove it. And I think I think Stokey is going to be in that spot where now he knows. And sometimes that getting that little extra kick in the keister is a good thing, because you get that sense of desperation that we as late picks live with our whole careers.
Right.
And that is something that you either utilize for good or you give in. Some guys give in and it's over. Most guys fight, scratch, and claw, and that's what makes them the players that they are. Because that talent gap, while sometimes can be pretty big, NFL, again, I've said it a million times, there's 10 or 15% that have that gap that it's just like, hey, just that cat's just, that's him. He is him, as the kids say. And then there's 70 to 80% of us that it's just, who wants it more, who fits best, and who is going to earn the trust of the coaches to do it. And you get that by just being relentless in your pursuit of keeping your career.
That Lisfranc foot injury is generally a problematic injury for a lot of guys, especially ones that rely on speed. He had that. Then he had all the hamstring problems. So after 25 games of his NFL career, you have one view of him. Then he gets hurt in Detroit. He only played 3 games in 2023 with all the hamstring stuff. But let's be honest here, too. We get to the end of the season last year, and the Packers made it very clear who was a starter and who was not.
He played
5 snaps against the Bears, and he played 1 snap in the playoff game against Philly.
Yeah.
That he was not part of their rotation.
No, it was time.
His departure doesn't surprise me.
No, I think everybody kind of assumed that that was going to be the case. And, you know, I think if Green Bay had any inkling that he could turn it around for them, you know, $4 million, it's not popcorn money, but it's that pulled kielbasa. I don't know. That
part of the ticket raise.
What is that? It's the neck ring Bologna. Yeah. Bologna.
The horse collar.
Horse collar Bologna. Where it's, you know, it is not a cumbersome expense to bring a first-round pick back that you know, if you have any belief that they can still get it done. Obviously, the Packers, I think, will spin it as it's going to be a good opportunity for him to find a different path forward.
Change of scenery.
But in honesty, what you look at is say he's not going to be good enough to do what we ask, and that's why we're moving on.
All right, I want to get to what this means for a couple of draft classes from the Goody era and get your thoughts on that. We'll do that after you tell us about your thoughts on Coors Light.
Oh, it's brewed with that 3-step cold press. Been beautiful. We got a fun little road trip tomorrow that I feel very certain will be filled with some Coors Lights post-show. Coors Light brewed with that 3-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it is made to chill as I'm watching the Badgers go on their tear to win the conference championship on the way to a Final Four. It'll be Coors Light sitting there in my seat next to me. Born in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado in 1978, Coors Light is refreshing. It is crisp. It's only 102 calories. That's why it is Coors Light in my hand when I need a moment to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
We're going to take a look at the 2020 and 2021 Packers draft classes.
And I also want to take a look at the contract info from old Banksy. We'll shore up all of those details on that because I'm intrigued. That tells you a little story, too. The little Banksy story.
More next. It's Wilde and Creaney.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
This ain't a good time, but when is it ever? I know the perfect time, and maybe that's never. So don't you dare leave me now, throw my heart on the ground. Cause tonight ain't the night for sorrow.
Tausch wants to get to the contract numbers for his guy Banksy.
God, I am fascinated by what's going to happen up front. I think it's really interesting. I see Elgton Jenkins is tweeting a bunch. Hasn't tweeted a lot in the last year or two. So, Start thinking.
So we'll talk a little bit about the 2020 and 2021 draft classes and who remains from those classes a little bit later.
There's nobody left, right? I mean, Jordan Love and who else you got?
Isaiah McDuffie.
The Duffster. Okay.
And when Josh Myers goes somewhere else, that's it. That's the list. So I want to get into that. We'll get into that during the 11 o'clock hour.
Love it.
Let's talk a little bit about the Aaron Banks contract. Over the Cap was the first to unearth the details of that deal, and they are
as follows. Do you think we should start doing what? Why are players' stuff so transparent? Like, do you find that interesting? Do you think everybody on Earth should be as transparent as NFL football players and basketball players with their salaries? Like, isn't it kind of crazy that we're sitting here and just dissecting that? Like, would it be fine if we're just dissecting, like, what Hunter out here? Hunter, how much you make? Let me go over the cap with Hunter Vaughn.
Are you really comparing Hunter Vaughn to professional athletes?
For people that cover it, it's kind of – I'm intrigued. Like, it's just funny to me that we're – because, listen, I'm super intrigued by what the Banks contract means and everything else. But do you find that interesting, or am I an outlier on that?
Yeah, I don't find that interesting.
Okay. Jesse?
Not really, actually, at all. Like, I think one of the more boring things we talk about is, like, money when it comes to, like, what people are getting paid. Like, just give me the contract. Well, like, I like knowing the guaranteed money. And besides that, I don't really care about all the other stuff. Me, personally.
Huh.
I know for some people, the salary cap and, like, diving into how to stay under the cap and how to shift things, like, that's really interesting to some people. It is not interesting to me.
Okay.
I would argue that in professional sports, the money is so directly tied to so much else that goes on. Who gets released, who gets signed, who gets re-signed, who gets extensions. Those are all a major part of Jair Alexander is going to be released possibly as soon as today.
Breaking
right?
news. Well, I didn't know that for sure.
That's what the word possibly means.
Oh.
But the reality is that the money matters, and they have a salary cap, and we have wagering on their sports. So all this stuff ties together, including contracts and what happens. Because, to your point about your guy Banksy, which is that what we're going to call him on this show?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to call him. You could call him whatever you want.
Aaron.
Banksy is what I like, yeah.
So he's got a four-year deal. It's worth $77 million total. $29 million signing bonus.
Ooh.
Fully guaranteed, obviously.
That's a two-year commitment, then.
Now, that's the only guaranteed money in his deal. And he's got a low... his cap hit for this year is $9 million. He's the third highest paid left guard in football.
Ooh.
But more importantly, and this is what I find interesting, because obviously, as Tausch just said, $29 million is a two-year commitment.
Yes.
You're not going to give him $29 million and then cut him after 1 year.
Unless he really stinks.
He'd have to be really bad.
Yeah.
But he does have roster bonuses that are pretty big. You know, we talked about with Jair Alexander how the fact that he does not have a roster bonus, so there's not necessarily a deadline to move on from him. Banksy has two very large $9.5 million roster bonuses in March of 26 and March of 27.
So realistically then, Jason, you're saying $38 million fairly confidently is going to be in his pocket
after
2 seasons.
Yeah, because again, they're going to pay that second that first roster bonus, no doubt.
You would
but
think,
it's still
yeah.
Right, and then they'll probably convert it to signing bonus so they can spread it out and everything else. But then if they get 2 years in, much like with Nate Hobbs, much like they structured the deal with Josh Jacobs in case he wasn't what he turned out to be, they can cut bait.
Yep.
And so I think it's really, to Tausch's point, I think it's a...
If you will.
You can take that to the bank, lols.
Eric,
I want to get
Kay.
To Michelle Smallman is scheduled to appear next. I want to get to her somewhat on time, unlike when we have Evan Cohen on the show. So
what does that tell you, Jason? You see that structure.
It tells me that they're committed to him for 2 years, and then they're going to see what happens.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pricey for those 2 years, but that's what it tells me.
It's the price of doing business, and I think
and
one
needing
of the things
to fix your line.
With it does tell you that for all of the Josh Myers is playing his best football and all of this other stuff.
No.
When we were sitting there talking about, you know, breakdowns and some stuff interior, the Elgton Jenkins injury, I think, hyper-exposed that. But what it tells you is Matt LaFleur, Brian Gutekunst felt like we are not going to get to where we want to go by keeping that group status quo. Mm-hmm. And we need to make a big play because from the outside, everybody has been looking at it and wide receiver and defensive end and mm-hmm. corner. And the boys that are making the decisions up at Lambeau are saying, well, we want to get better there too. But this is the most glaring thing because whether it's the Monday of illegal tampering or the Wednesday of legalized signings, your most glaring big boy moves happen there. The ones right. that are going to get all of the juice.
Mm-hmm.
And the Packers are, again, don't listen to what they say. Listen to what they do. And what they have done is just given Banksy a fortress of cash to play with. And that tells you that they needed to solidify their front line, and he is going to be a catalyst for that.
I need you to talk to our friends at Quick Trip. I have an idea for them.
Oh, okay.
So Sid and I stopped at Quick Trip after volleyball practice last night, and we had I wouldn't call it heated debate, but certainly a debate on which dunkers to get.
It's been a tough deal. A lot more flavors.
Six-pack, yep. Right? They've got chocolate, they've got banana, they've got blueberry.
Pack. You want a
sorted
pack.
They got cherry. They've got the cream.
Yep.
I would like one of each. I want a variety pack.
Ooh.
Can someone get on board with this? The Dunkers variety pack.
Do you think that variety pack would outsell the normal?
Again, I'm not a business mind, so would that hurt their sales of the six packs of all one flavor? I don't know.
Yeah.
But I know this. If they had a Dunker variety pack last night, Sid would have gotten her cream one, and I wanted to try the banana one again. And instead, we settled on cream because I usually give in to people that want something in my family.
Well, Quick Trip gets that, Jason. Life is busy, and whether you're craving fresh coffee, which I got on East Wash on my way in this morning, Quick Trip is your go-to. Quick Trip has a variety of apps and meals ready when you are as well. Plus, you always got to make room for dessert. Nature's Touch ice cream. Get a gallon of chocolate or vanilla for $4.99 a gallon of ice cream. Wow. But wait, you know there's more. Quickery white bread, 99 cents a loaf. Get a 12-pack of sodas, 2 for $10. Kitchen Cravings bacon-wrapped pork loin, 4 for $5. Warm up on those chilly days with a bag of soup. $6.99 every Tuesday for 36 or 40-ounce bags. That's a big bag of soup. And I can't get through talking about Quick Trip without mentioning that great chicken. Roasted whole chickens on special for $6.99 on Mondays. And we also stopped at Quick Trip last night. We got the 2 for $7 for reals. For real, we did. For real.
For real, that's a good deal.
They
for real.
They did that. Whether it's a quick bite or a dinner on the go, Quick Trip is the ultimate destination. Fuel your day with quality taste. Download the Quick Rewards app. Take advantage of everything that Quick Trip has to offer. On every visit, you order ahead for pickup or for curbside delivery. And Quick Trip, we'll see you next time.
Good thing you started that Pella read at 9:11 in the first segment, because now we'll get to Michelle Smallman. Only 5 minutes late, so stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Our friend Michelle Smallman from Unsportsmanlike, who deals with Evan Cohen every day, is going to join us in a moment. But you have an opportunity to join her, thanks to Travel Wisconsin, at the draft. Travel Wisconsin is giving 10 lucky fans the chance to join Michelle from Unsportsmanlike at the draft in Green Bay. You and a guest could be there with Michelle. Now, you got to register by March 31st, so you got about 2 weeks left, so get on this. Experience Wisconsin's vibrant cities and amazing food scene with an elevated tailgate brunch with Kohler Wisconsin. Enter Travel Wisconsin's Dream Draft Sweepstakes at travelwisconsin.com/draft. All right, that's travelwisconsin.com/draft for your chance to win. Epic moments that will become lifelong memories are waiting to be discovered across Wisconsin. Again, here's all you have to do. Register at travelwisconsin.com/draft before March 31st, and you could be one of the 10 superfans with a guest to win this epic trip to the draft, including round-trip airfare. I know we've got a lot of people outside Wisconsin who listen to the show, so that's big. 3 nights of lodging in Milwaukee, a VIP bus trip to Green Bay, and a special meet-and-greet with Canty and Michelle and apparently Evan, too, from ESPN Radio's Unsportsmanlike. So, again, it's travelwisconsin.com/draft. And joining us now, she is a dyed-in-the-wool Packers fan, thanks to us. I don't know how her first year as a fan went, since they went 1-5 in the division and lost all the good teams on their schedule and then were eliminated in the first round of the playoffs. So, Michelle, welcome again to Wildy and Tausch, and welcome to Packers fandom. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for having me. And season one was good for me. I know that the end result was not what we wanted, of course, with an early playoff. And I cared about a football team in a long time. Feel again and to be welcomed by Packers fans the way that I was and to have an emotional response week in and week out was amazing. But now we're on to year two and the expectations are there.
Do you feel the sense of urgency like Goody told us everyone else has to feel? That's nice. We're glad to see you feel that urgency. So I am curious, though, because once they were eliminated, I'm not saying you jumped off the bandwagon. That's not what I'm accusing you of. And certainly,
oh boy,
certainly
it's,
as a
that's
a,
what you said on the show.
As
well,
a
she
non,
can't root for the Lions.
Not, no,
that's
all right.
What you
first
said.
Of all,
I, what
that's
you
not
said.
What I said. I am not a fan, so I'm not telling people how to fan. I did maybe mention that might not go over great with some of your fellow Packers fans.
Michelle, doesn't that sound like he's kind of telling you how to fan? Am I crazy or am I wrong on that?
Oh, he's absolutely telling me how to fan.
Yes.
You're absolutely saying, I'm not telling you what to do, but here's what you should have done.
Yeah, I've been known to be that passive aggressive before. The bottom line is, you were pulling for the Lions, and I was pulling for that as a storyteller, too. That would have been a great story. They finally get to a Super Bowl. Didn't happen. Did you feel any of that blowback from your fellow Packers fans, or was I just the only critic, a lone voice in the wilderness?
I would say it was 50-50. And you have to understand where I was coming from. I wasn't saying, yay, Lions, like I would want them to win over the Green Bay Packers. All I said was, for a franchise who had suffered such historical agony, for them to be able to go on this run and finally win would be a great story. And to your point, we are storytellers. It would be good for business for me to watch them go on this run. And as much as we hate the other teams in the NFC North, and yes, I say we because I am a Packers fan, Dan Campbell does have a little je ne sais quoi. He is somebody that you feel like you can root for. And I just looked at, and I also said that because Jared Goff and I have a similar path here, that we were both dissed by the Rams. We were both discarded by the Rams. We don't want you. You're not good enough. We're on to pasture. So for him to go on and win a Super Bowl, that I would be something I would cheer for. Now, it wasn't like I was cheering for the Chicago Bears. It wasn't like I was saying, oh, you know, if the Packers get bounced from the playoffs, go Bears. I didn't do that. Okay. I know my role here. I know my place. But I would say, there were a lot of Packers fans that said, no, you cannot cheer for any team in the North. it's Packers or bust, but a lot of other people were on my side saying, yes, they have been the underdog for quite some time. Historically, scoreboard will always go to Green Bay, so if they get one, it's fine.
Yeah, but the Lions are they're the big dogs in the North right now. Two straight years of North championships. They are our most heated rival. It's the Vikings had a surprise year. Detroit was favored coming in, and they got it done, at least until the playoffs hit. So that, I think, is where Packer fans are coming. You can't. The Lions have been irrelevant for decades. They're not anymore.
Right.
And that's why it's hard for Packer fans to look at and say, no. We can't come on board and root for them, regardless of the je ne sais that Dan Campbell has.
I'm sorry, the what?
Je ne sais.
Oui, monsieur.
Really good. Good attempt.
Thanks.
Thanks for trying to raise our level.
So, Michelle, I was watching this morning, and you went through a top 10 quarterback kind of ranking to see where, you know, different quarterbacks fit. And was I crazy? You had Jordan Love outside of your top 10. Was that a fair assessment of your quarterback rankings?
Let me grab the list. I have it right here. Hang on.
This just came across your desk.
It hit the desk. Yes.
Here we have the list. So I had the top five just clustered together. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Jalen Hurts. Oh, I love the NFL music. Let's get this going.
That's just the only, that's really
the only segment
music
that
we
do that for. So, yeah, it's very special.
Then I had, rounding out the top 10, checking in at number six, Jaden Daniels.
Is this what professional radio people sound like? Is that what they sound like? Because we certainly aren't that.
No, we don't.
Yeah, we do Cantique Power Rankings every week, and I love the number five, you know, the very dramatic number five voice. So I had Jaden Daniels, I had Matt Stafford, I had Jared Goff, CJ Stroud, and then I put Justin Herbert in there, and then honorable mention, because the entire genesis of the conversation is Evan Cohen saying that Brock Purdy's a top 10 quarterback, and I wouldn't put Brock Purdy over Jordan Love, and I wouldn't put him over Dak either. And I know that sounds crazy because he's been to a Super Bowl, but he's had so much talent around him. And then last year, 6 wins, once a lot of that talent wasn't there and they had some injuries erode their team. So I just don't have as much confidence in Brock Purdy than I would Jordan Love. Even though I did not put Jordan Love in the top 10, I could make an argument for him.
Okay, so when you look back and your fandom started last year, and you saw what Jordan did 2 years ago, especially at the back end of the season in the playoffs. Did it meet your expectations for what you thought a second-year starting quarterback was, or did you expect more from Jordan, especially in those big games that we didn't find a way to win?
I expected more from him. It was inconsistent last year for a multitude of reasons. Obviously, he dealt with injuries, which is outside of his control, but those turnovers are his control a lot of times. And I keep saying this, I need the Toyota-thon version of Jordan Love for an entire season. We need the back half of the season Jordan Love for an entire season. And until I see that, I can't put him over some of these other guys. But the good news is I fully think he's capable of it. I just need to see him put it together, and he is still early on in his playing career, or at least starting career. And I have high hopes for him. But coming into my fandom, coming off that playoff run they had where he went into Dallas and absolutely embarrassed and decimated the Cowboys in Jerry's world, the way he played 49ers, a lot of people thought Jordan Love would be in the MVP conversation. So even though he certainly had those good moments, I would say year two, underwhelming.
And then you look at the wide receiver spot, and Packer fans are clamoring. I know free agency starts here in a couple of hours officially. Does Green Bay need to make a move? I was on the get Devontae back here at whatever cost. That obviously didn't happen. What do you think of this crew? Because I thought that group was really disappointing last year, too inconsistent, and would love to see a veteran presence come in. What do you see?
I agree with you. I would have loved to see a Devontae reunion at all, but second, I heard that DK Metcalf would be available. I was salivating at that idea. Give Jordan Love another weapon, that big physical presence, give him another look, another wrinkle in that offense. Obviously, that didn't happen, and neither did Devontae. And maybe they still will go out there and add a piece. I hope that they do, because I'm with you. I think that they need to add a true number one receiver to this offense. We'll see how they accomplish that. I expected more so far in free agency for them. They've made some good moves. I love fortifying the offensive line and, of course, adding at corner. But I would definitely like to see them still add a receiver.
Talking with Michelle Smallman of Unsportsmanlike, and I'm just sitting here listening to her going, welcome to being a Packers fan, Michelle. They got a guard in free agency. Oh, they got a nickel guy in free agency. That's actually a lot compared to many other years in free agency. So it is certainly not Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney in free agency like last year. All right, a few other things we want to get to. Again, we're excited to have you. Certainly, we're very proud for being the really the tip of the spear that led to your Packers fandom. We did most of the heavy lifting, let's be honest. But you got this great thing going on with Travel Wisconsin. I'll tell folks about it again after we're done with you. I do want to talk about the fact that Trey Hendrickson remains on the trade block. I'm guessing you guys have spent some time talking about him. He is a field-tilting player. He's also 30 years old. And again, welcome to Packers fandom. If you're 30 years old, Goody doesn't necessarily want you. Right now on their roster, they have one 30-year-old player, and it's Brandon McManus. That's it. That's the list. Do you agree with that philosophy, one? And then two, as a Packers fan, are you allowing yourself to get your hopes up for Trey Hendrickson, or have you learned that that's probably unlikely as well at this point?
So while I love this young group that they have, because they're interesting. They're young, but they have experience, right? They're still malleable and still growing together, but they've been in the playoffs, so they have a bit of that scar tissue. So they're a really interesting balance, which I love, but I am not going to say no to a Trey Hendrickson. Is there a contingent out there that's going to say no to Trey Hendrickson to the Packers?
Goody.
I would be ecstatic if that were to happen.
Well, I don't know what they're willing to give up. I don't know what they're willing to pay him, because they'll have to do that. And again, he has celebrated his 30th birthday, so that leaves them in a challenging spot. All right, so
this is
Michelle,
like a
before
Leonardo DiCaprio thing, right?
Yeah.
You know how Goody, the joke is like, he won't date anyone over 25. Is that how Goody operates? He's got like the Leonardo DiCaprio theory, or the Leo approach, we can call it.
I love this. I think this is what we should do going forward.
Can you zoom in? I literally wrote down the Leonardo DiCaprioization of the Packers on my notes here. So
before she said that?
Before she said it, yes. Yeah.
Wow. Great minds.
Yeah,
thinking
we're right
alike.
Here. Absolutely.
A lot of similarities between the two of you. Yeah. So Michelle, before we let you go, you and I have been in the same place. You were at the Tundra Trio for one of the game when you came for a game, and then I managed to do our pregame show, and I never spoke to you. Was that your first and only trip to Wisconsin, or do you have other ones in your past? Because the draft with Travel Wisconsin is going to be obviously a big deal, and you're going to be
here
for it.
She also was in East Illinois, which I didn't know about. I heard that whole segment. East Illinois, which is... Yeah, you know, St. Louis. By the way, I'm going to St. Louis for hockey. I need a recommendation for a great lunch or dinner spot when I'm down in the St. Charles area.
Say less. I've got you. I will text my you some options, and then I will text my people and let them know you're coming.
Ooh, I like that, and I'll give her full report back. Fantastic.
Okay. Good. I'm assuming you'll have a car.
That is
you're
correct.
In St. Louis?
Yep, a Chevy Tahoe from Zimbrick Chevy.
Do you have
Absolutely.
Any interest in being his navigator? Because it's a great job to have.
I'll say this. We'll see Michelle up at the draft. I'm not going to put her through the Bartski thing where I'm not the easiest. I expect a lot from my passenger, Michelle. I want music to be played. I want to have conversation topics. And we're not stopping. We're going. We're going to do the 5 hours.
Hold your pee. Yep.
Yeah, that's kind of my deal.
We're on the same wavelength here.
Right.
I actually was just telling Rob Lorenzo, our social and digital guy, that the number one barometer of a good relationship, like if you're on a date, you should say to yourself, could I do a 5-hour road trip with this person? Do they make me laugh? Do we have enough to talk about? Are they easygoing? Can the tunes be right? Will they be cool with snacks in the car? This is a barometer of a good relationship. And I'm the same way. I'm an amazing co-pilot. I'm
wow.
happy to navigate.
What's the go-to snack? What's the snack that you go to?
So going to the University of Illinois and being in Chicago, or being in from Southern Illinois / St. Louis. I've done many a trip to Champaign and many a trip to Chicago. I can peel off a 5-hour road trip like nobody's business. I'm good on the aux. But the snacks, you have to stop at the gas station prior, because I'm like you. We're not stopping unless it's an A1 emergency. I always go with ranch corn nuts and a fountain root beer from a gas station.
Ooh, okay.
Yes,
all right.
Do not sleep on ranch corn nuts.
All right, I'm sorry. We're out of time. I've got one, Tausch. I don't need another. All right, we look forward to you coming to see us. We look forward to the draft. We appreciate that you did this from the Unsportsmanlike Studios, because the last time we had a non-Evan Cohen unsportsmanlike
there
guest,
was fake moonings.
There was the fake mooning incident with Warren Moon and Canty. So there's been a lot of kind of craziness that has occurred during these portions of our program. So we are excited for you to be in Wisconsin. We're excited for you and Tausch to drive 5 hours to Max's next hockey tournament. And then we'll see if there's really that level of compatibility
It will be tested
and driver.
For sure. There's no doubt.
It's all great in the theoretical until you actually experience it. That would be my warning to you. Michelle, we love having you. We think the world of you. We appreciate your time. Thanks.
Love being with you guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. Again, I'm going to go through the information about the road trip. But
I feel like Evan and I and Michelle need to do a road trip now. I think that would be...
You're bumping Canty from the trip?
Get Lorenzo in there to take video and give updates.
I can just imagine how this would go. I mean, I think from an entertainment standpoint, for me, I would have to drive. I'd have to be the driver, and I'd let those two figure out how they want to approach.
How would you align the car?
Great question.
It's a good question. I don't know. But I want this to happen. I think this could be really fun.
All right, we'll delve
in. We'll drive Wildy down to Wicks and the boys down at their Airbnb.
Again, we appreciate Michelle's time. Again, she is part of this great package that Travel Wisconsin has put together for 10 lucky fans and their guests to join her and the Unsportsmanlike crew at the draft in Green Bay. Again, you and a guest could be there. You got to register, though, by March 31st. All you got to do is go to travelwisconsin.com/draft. Again, the deadline is March 31st. You and a guest, so 10 plus a guest for this epic draft trip. It includes round-trip airfare for all of you that listen to us in places outside Wisconsin, 3 nights lodging in Milwaukee, the VIP bus trip to Green Bay, and a special meet-and-greet with Evan, Canty, and Michelle from Unsportsmanlike. Again, the website is travelwisconsin.com/draft. We'll get back on the clock, because that's why what we care about so much. Next, it's Wildy and Tausch.
Hey, it's Michelle Smallman, and coming up Thursday, the Commanders are trying to maximize Jaden Daniels' Super Bowl window, and I'll tell you what else they need to do to fulfill that dream. It's Unsportsmanlike, 6 a.m. Eastern, right here on ESPN Radio, ESPN 2, and ESPNU.
Thanks again to Michelle Smallman. Again, go to travelwisconsin.com/draft to enter the contest by March 31st. Are we really going to get this?
Get what?
A road trip.
I think
I want no part of it.
You don't want part of it?
Zero.
None. I wonder.
I want to be able to stop if I have to pee.
I feel like you'd struggle with being in the road trip with us. I would do this in a heartbeat. I think it'd be really fun. If Canty wanted to go too, I can't imagine he would. But if he does, he's more than welcome. It would be fun. I don't know where we'd go, but I'm on board.
You can go down to Champaign Urbana. She's made that drive many times.
They're all going to be here for the draft. Is there somewhere during the draft that you could take them? Like,
but it would all be
two or three. Like,
it would all be within, you know, a 2 or 3 hour window.
The problem is you would have to take them on like a Wisconsin road trip, but that would involve stopping places, which defeats the purpose of,
so
you just want to prove you can make it.
There's obviously plenty of places that I'd love to go around with, and you know, Michelle is doing the Travel Wisconsin, this whole big promotion, which is awesome. So there's different things. We'd hit supper clubs. But, yeah, you're right. This has got to be a road trip. But this isn't a tailgate tour. So if they wanted to do a tailgate tour of Wisconsin, I'd be on board. But I think the road trip component, the fact that she doesn't want to stop and she's willing to take on all of those responsibilities, which I'm fairly certain Evko would not want to do, I just think it would be fun little banter back and forth. Who do you think dominates that conversation if
you?
The three of us are in the car? I don't know. I don't know.
Mm.
I don't know.
It's you.
It's you. Come on.
I don't know.
I do hope this happens. I think you should just drive to Madison. That way you could get kind of a smaller sampling.
No, it's and, go big
and,
or go home. It's
and,
go big or go home.
All right, you stepped on my joke.
My
so
bad, my
never
bad.
Mind.
Well, how did I know it was a joke?
You
get all pouty.
You interrupted.
Well, you do that to me,
quit
too.
Quit stepping on
all
his
right,
jokes.
I want to reset because I want to hear this joke.
No.
All right, no, just
no,
stop. Don't
the,
pout.
The moment has passed.
Stop pouting.
One call, that's all. David and his team, they're the best in the business.
I saw David they, Sunday.
No, you don't interrupt at all. No, not at all.
Any
road
details
to
of
Madison.
When? Any details of when you saw David, or you just wanted to say you saw him?
I saw him at the Bucks game. I just told you that. Had a chance to catch up with him. He's all fired up.
Eight.
For what?
Now I'm giving the wrong phone number.
What's he fired up for?
He loves Marquette. He thinks the Badgers can make a run. He doesn't disagree with my take. He's an Auburn guy. He's got a lot of different. He's just fired. He loves the tournament.
414-276-6666, 414-276-6666. That is the number for Grubel Offices. One call, that's all. If you've been injured in an accident or your co-host continually interrupts you and you would like to take legal action, David is there with his team. They're the best in the business. Go to the website, gruber-law.com, to find out more about the firm, all the great lawyers that are there, and all the great things that the Grubers do in our communities. Grubel Offices, one call, that's all. The 11 o'clock hour starts in 2 minutes, so stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.